Welcome to the spin-off of There's a Workshop for That, your bi-monthly rendezvous with Nati,
Appa,
and Audrey.
We're here to unpack our thoughts on facilitation, workshopping, and a silly little thing called life.
Give us some love, subscribe, share, and add a nice review.
Thank you for tuning in. Let's talk.
Yes, 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 we are back. We are back. I'm here in the room with Audrey and Appa. Hi, girls.
Hello, hello.
Hello, ladies.
How are you?
We should be asking you that question. You're the one who moved to Bali.
Yeah, true. Time flies by, actually, because this has been a few weeks since we've recorded the last episode. I had the chance to see you, Audrey, in Paris 3 weeks ago.
29th of February.
Yeah, the leap day. Exactly. We were in Paris for the leap day to take the leap for a big project for a big company. It was awesome.
Wonderland. It was Wonderland. Like, seriously, for me, it was like Disneyland for facilitators, guys. It was just insane, the chateau that we were at. And my God, Appa, if you'd been there, you would have loved it so much. And we missed you so much there. Like, girl, I can't wait for us to go and do something similar. The three of us, like, you know, the three musketeers.
That would be amazing.
And
absolutely.
That'd
be
so cool.
We call ourselves the Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
Which ones are you guys? I want to be, is it Blossom? No, not Blossom. Buttercup.
Oh my God, you're going with the names? Like, I barely know the colors.
I want to be Buttercup.
I want to be the pink one. I want
you're,
to be
course,
the,
you're the pink one.
I think the blonde one.
Yeah, it's though, you know, honestly, like, you guys did such a great, amazing job. There was so much that I heard about that workshop, and so many exercises came out of that, Nadia. I remember when we were talking about it. But my main question to you is, how did you balance all of that with moving to Bali and, you know, packing your whole life up? You had a lot on your plate, and, you know, we also have some surprises coming, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I have no clue how I did that. The last weeks in Europe were so stressful because this workshop came out of nowhere. It was actually in the week I should leave to Bali, so I had to reschedule my plane, and I had a lot of stress with Opodo, by the way. And then I rescheduled my plane 1 week later. So work-life balance, I dream of it. I dream of it. And in the meantime, yes, I'm in Bali. And it's like, yeah, I breathe a little bit again. And even if we have a lot of work on the table, the girls. So yeah. It was a lot, but it was a very nice ending of the Europe chapter.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, even now that you're in Bali, I mean, you've done already so many things. I mean, you decorated your house, you had to figure out how to shop there. Like, I mean, I love shopping, girls. And when you told me, there's no shop. Like, if you want to buy a desk, you can't go and buy a desk. You have to go to a warehouse. Like, I would have been scared, like, what are they going to do there? They have, like, sew, they have wood, they have things. What's going to happen? Like, but you dealt again, like, with a lot of things, like, dealing with the change, dealing with, like, adapting to something new. I mean, like, there you're the rock star of adapting and transforming and living the life, seriously.
It's so funny, as the Asian in the room, like, for me, it was surprising that when I moved to Europe, I would be like, I can just go to a shop and buy a chair.
It was the other way around,
because, like, a lot of the time when we wanted furniture, we would go to these warehouses in India and buy, like, these pieces, you know? So
yeah,
to me, that sounds very natural. And it's just funny, like, to hear it from you guys.
I have to say, I'm in the north in Bali, so this is not the area for tourists and for European people. So it's very Indonesian, and this is what I love. But when I needed to buy something, I was like, huh? Where are the things? And on the next day, someone took me on his motorbike to bring me where I could find the things that I need. And I swear, never, ever, I would have seen this, this place, because it's absolutely not like in Europe. It's like a big warehouse. There are so much things that you don't know where to look at. So it was very funny. Another surprise this week, I was attending 2 days ago
a beta event with Brittany Bowering and Christy from School of Facilitation, and it was late and I didn't want to miss it. So I was at it. It was very, very nice. I got a lot of insights. And as the event was finished, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. So I go out from the room where I have my computer and I go to my bedroom and here, middle of the floor, a spider like as big as my hand.
What?
Oh my God.
And I swear, I never saw this in my whole entire life. I was not scared. I just wanted to make a picture for my daughter. So I put my shoes close to it. And because I put my shoes close to it to have the size comparison, time she went away. And she went away where? In my bedroom. So
until
2 o'clock I was looking for this monster and I couldn't find it. It was 2 o'clock in the morning and I look at the
over my,
yeah. And what I see? The monster.
I can't believe it. I would
so
die.
I had to wait until it go down and then I could throw it away and oh my God. So these are the surprises.
Actually, I'm not coming to see you in Bali, just in case you're wondering, you know. It was nice to see you, but you come to Europe if you want to see me, Tomer. I'm gonna die seeing your spider.
So the point is I was super tired because I just wanted to see this conference. So I have also to deal with time zone, of course, because different kind of time zone. A lot of events are in middle of the night, so I choose the one I want to pick. And and the next day I had other appointments with Audrey, by the way, and to work on the coming bootcamp. And it's like, okay, work-life balance in the last 3 months, I would say I have to work on it.
Wow. Wow. And I thought I had it bad. Like I was traveling to Switzerland for a workshop. I have to like look at so many calendars, make sure people are available to take care of my son. I'm also doing like a little gig in cancer care. It's just, I thought I had it bad, but I think you totally take the cake. Nati, you've moved all the way to the other side. I will be seeing you soon, Nati. I'm so excited about that. I'm going to be coming to your side of the world.
Yes. We will meet very soon in a few weeks. We will meet in Singapore.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Audrey, are you just finding out about this?
Yes. I mean, I know she was going to Kuala Lumpur or something. And then
we will share times together.
Absolutely. And record a few podcast episodes for you diehard fans out there.
Yeah,
amazing.
But you know,
girl.
Something, just one thing, Nati, I wanted to say, because, you know, I think we spoke about this a little bit, is, you know, the freelance life, it almost seems that you will be getting a lot of work-life balance. And so sometimes even for me, you know, I still work. Looking at you, I wonder, how do you make time? How do you manage the work-life balance? What are some of the things that you've noticed about this?
The first thing I noticed is that if you think you go freelance and you have, like, from the beginning work-life balance, I have to tell you, it will not be like this. But the thing is, you invest your time for yourself. If you go freelance because you're passionate by what you're doing, then even if you work, you are spending your time doing things for what you love. And this is the difference. So there are times, of course, who are super stressful, because in a freelance life, there are months where it's more quiet, and then there are months where everybody suddenly wants something from you, so you have to manage it. But yeah, this is a choice of life. I mean, and my goal is, of course, to have my work-life balance. So how I do this for me, the fact that I'm in Asia was something I recognized last year. Is with the difference of time zone, it has also its advantage. Because, for example, when I wake up in the morning, you guys are sleeping. So when I'm here...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm definitely sleeping.
Yeah, she's sleeping.
I'm definitely. No questions asked. Audrey, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, because sometimes I get some message and we already had a conversation. It was 2 o'clock in the morning for me, and it was like, I don't know what time in London.
What I'm doing is I wake up and I do 2 sports, because I know in my head nobody will want something from me at that time. Then I try to have a very healthy breakfast, and then I work for 2-3 hours, and then I take for myself 2-3 hours so that I can see something here, go to the beach, or
go to the warehouse.
Go to the warehouse. And then I will start to work at the end of the afternoon and until sometimes late, because this is the time where I can have my mentoring or record a podcast with guests or plan my LinkedIn. This is something also, you know, I didn't have the time to plan in advance in the last months with the moving, with the workshops, with the mantra. It was absolutely not possible. So on my list, there is the fact that I want to plan one day every 2 weeks to plan all the outlines for my LinkedIn, for example, and then a day where I plan all my visual, and then I can schedule everything so that I don't have to do it day by day, because it's like, it's a peace of mind when you do it like this.
So wait a second, because are you telling that it's like a real myth that when you want to go freelance, I mean, I remember the webinar we did with some of our fellow facilitators here, and clearly like their top 3 dreams, it was 1, work-life balance, 2, I want to make an impact, and 3, I want to do more of what matters to me. And now you're telling me that it's like, it's a means, like you actually have to do everything when you start and you struggle with time. So like, how do we encourage people to, like, you know, jump in, like the facilitator freelance, like how do you overcome those needs? Like what would be your tips and tricks to embark on this journey still until you reach your dream and you actually get to those goals?
Yeah, I think you have to find out how to manage your time. You have first to find out what really matters to focus on. Because I can remember at the beginning, I mean, yes, I have phases now which are stressful, but I was moving from Europe to Bali, so this is a thing. But I would say after 2 years, I found what is important, what I need to do right now, and what can wait. I have understood that, for example, if I cannot release a podcast as it was planned, I will release it 1 week later, because nobody cares, actually. The people are very happy when a podcasting is coming out, but it's not like they are waiting every morning that the next podcast is coming. So I try to be very, very regularly in what I'm doing. But if it's not perfect, it's not that important. And you need to find time to work on your business and find time to work in your business. And I mean, when you go freelance, the first priority is to get clients. So if you are doing all things around that are not matters to find clients, then you will go burn out. So you have to focus on things. You have to know what I am doing, why I am doing this, and how I'm doing that.
Every year ago. Isn't it something we're working on?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes, shameless plug-in. That's what it is, right? It's about understanding yourself, what you can offer, understanding what your client is looking for, and how you can reach them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think these are the 3 first keys that you need to have a good foundation to really start your business. Even if you are not going freelance tomorrow, but you think about it, I think if you have this foundation, then you will start your business differently. It don't mean that everything is done. Absolutely not. But if you are doing this, then you can talk about what you are doing and who you want to serve absolutely more clearly. And then it's make the path easier, I would say.
It's amazing. I mean, now that we're talking about it, I feel that we've just planted a seed for the audience. And I'm like, we gotta tell them more, because we've been working on this bootcamp for weeks now, and I don't know about you girls, but I'm so excited, like, for what's coming up. And I know that we've designed it with, you know, the heart of facilitators for facilitators, and with the tremendous experience that Matty and Appa have with how to build these workshops, how to build this bootcamp. There's definitely lots that's coming up in this bootcamp. And Appa, I mean, you've been like a queen in designing this space and designing like some of those activities. And I really loved observing you two shaping it. So can you tell us more about like, how do you design like the experience with Natty? Like, what were your anchor points to guide the design?
Oh yes, give us like three keys how to design workshop sessions that will engage everybody, and that where they will be connected. How do you design a workshop, Appa?
Wow, way to put me in the spot, guys.
Yeah, natural, don't worry.
So I mean, the first thing you always start with is the objective of the session and the target audience that you're looking at, right? So for us, it was very clear that we wanted to reach freelance facilitators, so we had to understand more in a human-centered way what it is the freelance facilitators struggle with most. So Natty, of course, has gone through the process, but we also, you know, gathered insights from other freelance facilitators to understand the biggest pain points. And as we were mentioning, it is about understanding yourself, your client, how to reach them, and what your offering is going to be. So this seemed to be a common point. So once we identified exactly what we wanted to achieve at the end, so what would be the outcome or the output at the end of each bootcamp, or each phase of the bootcamp, then we tried to identify the overarching experience that we wanted to give. So that's my point number two, is really to understand what you want to leave the people feeling. You know, what do you want them to have, not only concrete takeaways, but what do you want them to think about at the end of each session? And how does that whole thing flow? So it's about building those bridges between workshops, and not just thinking about them as singular events. And third, of course, are those exercises. So each session that we have designed for you will be very tailored to a specific theme that we want you to think about, right? So then you need to go granular, deeper into what it is that you want them to do, what they need to do in between the sessions to get them to that output, so that at the end of the take the leap, they know who they are, they know who their client is, and they know at least at the beginning how to reach them.
Yeah. Incredible. And we want them, there is an extra thing that I think make the bootcamp different than others. We really want them to connect with each other, because I mean, you both, I know you from facilitation retreat where we were, so we are not creating a retreat, but we want that people who are on the same path connect with each other, because yeah, you can find a friend, like a partner in crime, or you can find maybe a collaborator to work with, like an ecosystem inspiration. Of inspiration. It's like creating an ecosystem of people who might still be connected after all the bootcamp. Yeah.
And then it's important, because you mentioned this earlier as well, Matty. You sometimes, even though you are freelance, it doesn't mean you're alone.
Yeah.
And I think there's a difference between those two things. Like, you collaborators are super important for the simple reason that you come to each other as partners, and the hierarchy is less pronounced, right? So when you have a collaboration, each person is open to bring a part of them into that mix, right? And at the beginning, I think that's so important, that healthy debate in a respectful environment, of course.
The facilitation community is such a kind world. I feel it like a safe space. I have to say, I was in project management, I was in consulting. The facilitation world is something different. People are here to help each other. This is also the reason why I wanted to turn the mentorship 101 I had into a group mentorship with workshop, because we are law workshoppers, I mean, of course. And of course, in this session of 2 hours, we'll share with each other and brainstorm with each other about what are the opportunities the other person might have based on the work that they will have done on the templates before the sessions. I think we create something we can be proud of course. And I mean, without you, Alpa, it would have not been the same. I mean, you are such an amazing workshop designer. Of course, I love to create. Also, I need to have someone with me to really get out the things of my head, and that the person in front have another idea. And then I love this ping pong game. So I'm
challenging structure.
Yeah, I'm very excited about what we create. And we have already people on the list since the first webinar we did. I mean, this will be the first court. It will start in a few days, and I'm very excited about it. The first court means it's also a test for us. We will test what is working good, what should be done maybe differently, and we want to have the feedback of the person so that the next court will be maybe a little bit different. And this is also why I didn't want to put the full price from the beginning. It's not about the price now, it's about having a product that really fits to the needs of the freelance facilitator. So of course I'm based on my experience, my own experience, and based also on all the mentorship that I had with facilitators, I have a good overview of what is needed. But you know how it is when you are running a new thing, you need to have the feedback of the people. So this is why
everybody likes a good discount, Natty.
Yes, of course, but this is not only a marketing thing. It's about, I really want to test it with the first 10 people coming to the session, and then we will see. So I'm so excited, so excited.
I am so excited. I mean, I have to say what we're putting together, what's coming up. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be ready for it, because it's going to be insane. I mean, we're basically, I'm going to give a little bit more context here, okay?
Okay.
So, because you girls like touched upon a couple of points, I'm really, really excited. I love how APA, you took us like how you're designing like typical workshop or experience like through three key essentials, such as identifying the outcome, the objectives. Second point, figuring out what's the experience, the feeling that you want to generate in your audience. And third, you look at the exercise last. I mean, that's like really insightful already. And then, so the bootcamp that we are crafting and that we're actually starting in a couple of days, like Natty said, it's 4 weeks of incredible session where you're going to get the chance to connect with your peers, build an ecosystem, challenge yourself, get inspiration. And of course, I mean, I'm super excited to just see you in action, Natty, and be part of it, because you're such an inspiration for myself and for so many of us out there. So just getting the chance to be in the same room with you and learning from your experience, it's brilliant. So 4 weeks to take off and kickstart a journey where you start understanding so yourself, your clients, and your voice. I mean, this is brilliant. Like, I mean, that's what I wish any freelancer who's kickstarting or crafting their business can benefit from. And I'm so excited that we're putting all of this together, packaging it with a lot of pink, of course. And we're going to just deliver the hell out of it. So yeah, it's definitely an amazing program with an amazing discount for the first cohort, because we're going to love to hear your feedback. We definitely want it to resonate. We want to make it right by you. It's built by facilitators or facilitators. So, I mean, there's nothing else to say. Like, you got to sign up, you got to join, and you got to enjoy. That's what I have to say.
Now you know why Audrey is working with me. She's such a marketing queen. I mean, hello.
I can't wait to have the people. I mean, the last time we did a webinar, we had much more people than it was planned. So this time for the first cohort, we decided to limit it to 10 seats. just to be sure that it fits. And in the next quart, it might be more. But this is something, for example, I want to ask the people, because sometimes it's better to have a smaller groups, even if we are working a lot with breakout rooms and with moment where everybody's in the room and moment where you can talk more with one of your peer to brainstorm about your clients, for example.
What do they do to join?
What do they do to join? They go in the show notes and they click on a link where they will have all the information about what, how, when, and of course the price. Did I do it good, Audrey? Was it clear?
Yes. Yeah, okay. You get a sense of it.
I mean, as facilitators, I think most of us are also design thinkers. A lot of us are. I'm not saying most of us, but a lot of us are. And when we were crafting this bootcamp, that's what I also mentioned, it's really important for us to actually cater to the needs that the end audience is going to have from us. And that's kind of the authenticity with which we build it. That's also what we base our brand on. And I think that's why it's so important to us, to all three of us, as you see, as you hear from us.
Exactly. So basically, I mean, if you're like still in a corporate job and you're thinking, oh, I really want to go freelance, but I'm still kind of scared. I'm like, oh my God, where do I start? Or maybe you're like someone that's like, you stepped out of your comfort zone already and you're starting things, but you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And now you're like wondering, how do I focus? How do I do more of what matters? What really matters, that Nasri was talking about, bringing that focus. And maybe you're also like looking for what's your, I don't know, your signature, what really is your first service. And you're wondering, how can I stand out? Like, how can I gain that confidence as a freelance facilitator? Well, I guess there's only like two options that are ahead of you. Number one, you can choose to do it alone, like Nadi did, like many of us have tried, I guess, and it's going to take time. The second option, you can choose to accelerate your journey with like supportive people, with this ecosystem around you, and you're going to take off. And you will make time. So I guess the ball is in your court, but think about it.
So thank you so much, Audrey, and thank you so much, Appa, for all your help with the preparation of the bootcamp. So if you want to join us to the bootcamp, go to the show notes, look at the link, and we will be very, very, very happy to welcome you in the first court. I would love to leave a question at the end of this podcast and ask you, how would it feel to achieve your vision as a freelance facilitator? You can send us an email to podcast@laworkshoppers.com. I would be very, very happy to have your answers about this question. And thank you so much, girls. Thank you. It was so nice to see you, even if we are far away from each other. Appa will see us in a few days. And Audrey, we stay in touch.
You
thank you, girls.
Yeah.
Thank
you, girls.
Thank you. Bye.